Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The fourth commandment is found in Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Now this is the commandment of our study today. The Jewish Sabbath was observed, which corresponds to our Saturday, the seventh day of the week. The word Sabbath means seventh, taken from the Hebrew word meaning a day of rest. 3 main principles are born in this fourth commandment. 1. The principle of rest from honest labor. And 2. The principle of a rhythmic pattern of perpetual worship. And 3. The principle of work itself. Originally, the Sabbath was given to the Israelite nation. There is no evidence that Adam, Abraham, or others who lived prior to the giving of the law of Moses at Mount Sinai observed the Sabbath day. Genesis 2 and verse 3 says, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work. But the question is, did God sanctify that day immediately upon completion of his creative work, or later when he gave the law of Moses to Israel? We must remember that Moses wrote Genesis 2 and verse 3 several years after the Ten Commandments were given to Israel. There is no indication that the early patriarchs knew anything about observing the Sabbath day. Further evidence to consider is that this commandment is said to have been given at Sinai, as recorded in Nehemiah 9, 13, and 14. It reads, Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right commandments, and true laws, and good statutes, and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts and statutes and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. Friend, this tells us that these commandments were made known at Sinai. Now, the reason God required observance of the Sabbath is stated in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out from thence through a mighty hand and stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Because they had labored and worked and slaved so long and been deprived of worship and the rest by the heathen, God gave them his Sabbath. The Sabbath was exclusively for the Israelites, because God said, It is a sign between me and the children of Israel, Exodus 31 and verse 17. The entire law of Moses, including these 10 commandments, was given just to the Israelite nation. More than the seventh-day weekly observance was involved for the Jews. Leviticus 26 and verse 2, Ye shall keep my Sabbaths, plural. I am the Lord. The plural Sabbaths is used extensively in the Old Testament. God's name is joined to all of them. In the course of the 50 years, the number of Sabbaths the Jews were to observe totaled nearly 16 years, more than a fourth of the time. There was not only the Sabbath each week, but the Passover, the Day of First Fruits, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Sabbath of Years, the Year of Jubilee, the Days of Atonement. Little wonder that Paul later described the old law as a yoke of bondage, and a yoke which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear. Furthermore, the restrictions concerning the Sabbath were severe, and violations brought severe punishment. There was to be no work, not even gathering of sticks for a fire, for cooking, and for no travel. We might wonder, where is the application of the fourth commandment upon Christians? It is not binding upon Christians, except in the principles it demonstrates, because the old covenant was to extend, as God said to the Jews, through your generations. This limited the extent of the Jewish dispensation, whereas every other of the Ten Commandments is included or expanded upon in the new covenant of which Christ is the mediator. It is significant that the command to remember the Sabbath is not included anywhere. The fourth is an exception in this matter. As we have said before, so we say now again. The reason we believe and accept the other commandments is not because God gave them to the Jews through Moses, but because Christ included them in His will. We are to obey them because of the authority of God through Christ, not because of the authority of God through Moses. Is it not true that Jesus observed the Sabbath, some ask? Indeed He did, because He lived under the law of Moses as a Jew. But He never bound its observance upon His followers after coming of the kingdom of heaven, beginning with the day of Pentecost. Christ, His apostles, the early Christians, they worked, they rested, they worshipped. It would be intemperate to do otherwise. But this was not the observance of the Sabbath. The early Christians assembled on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. It was that day that they partook of the Lord's Supper, and they gave of their means. The first day of the week was the day of the week that Christ rose from the dead, the day that the church began on Pentecost. And these facts are attested in the inspired Scripture as well as in secular history. There is nothing in the faith of Christ that includes the observance of the Sabbath day. We see then the distinction between the fourth commandment and all others. The other nine are included or expanded in the will of Christ, but this one is limited and omitted, except for the principles it teaches that we have already noted. No study of the fourth commandment would be complete without at least a passing attention being given to the words regarding work. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Rest from work implies that first there must be work from which one can rest. The necessity of work is borne out in the new covenant of Jesus Christ. Henry Van Dyke wrote, "This is the gospel of labor. Ring it, ye bells of the kirk, that is, the church. The Lord of love come down from above to dwell with men who work." Man's good and happiness is connected with work. Eden was not a place of idleness, but of work. Genesis 2 and verse 15, "The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." There is even activity in heaven. In Jacob's dream, the angels were not idle, but ascending and descending the ladder he envisioned. Jesus is preparing mansions for those who shall enter therein. There is activity in heaven. Jesus worked while on earth. He said, "My Father worketh even until now, and I work." We are children of a working God. We are the beneficiaries of a working Savior. We should honor their calling by a life of diligent and faithful work. Paul taught, if one would not work, he should not eat, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. It is important to note that the same commandment which speaks of a day of rest also speaks of 6 days of labor. And while many offer much talk and concern and emphasis on the rest, there may not have been such emphasis on the other 6 days of work. The philosophy entertained in the minds of too many is to do less and less and receive more and more. Of course, this ultimately and of necessity has its limits. It may be difficult to determine which is more reprehensible, the professional, willful, loafer, and shirker, or the governmental system which harbors and encourages such behavior. James Vance said, "God is on the side of the worker. The worker has rights. The willful idler has none. whether he belongs to the idol rich or the idol poor. To ignore God's decree calling for man to work is as wrong as any other violation of his will. Nothing worthwhile has been built by people that tried to do as little as they could, but by those who try to do as much as they can. Consider our own great nation. Our land is great because God has blessed us, but this blessing has been given in response to work. This nation affords the greatest freedoms on earth, such as the freedom of worship and religion. But these freedoms are ours because they were accomplished with God's providence by long, hard, sacrificial work. It is fair to raise the question whether the attitudes of doing less and less for more and more will preserve for us these precious liberties that we've inherited. If our enemies outwork us, they shall outlast us. This is according to God's divine principles of labor. Relaxation and leisure have their place, and in their place they are proper and right. There are serious and justifiable questions being raised whether the increase of leisure has been beneficial to society or detrimental. A tragic paradox of our nation is that the very blessings of God that have brought to us prosperity and strength are being so abused and misused that they may become our undoing because they give rise to increased laziness, to slothfulness, a lack of the sense of personal responsibility to work. With fewer and fewer working days, much fewer than known among the Jews, what an oddity that the man with only one day of rest found it easier to attend worship and be attentive to spiritual matters than our own generation, which is given usually 2 days of rest, shorter days of work, more days off than has ever been known before. Those who violate the principles of the fourth commandment are willful idlers, neglectors of worship, who have secularized the day of worship for their own worldly pursuits. The Lord's will regarding work is broader than most people consider. But the Lord's will regarding worship is not to be set aside for labor, for the mundane secular and world activities, nor for our pleasures. A common fallacy among us is the assumption that labor has only to do with the man that works with his hands. This has become a connotation with many that is unjustified. To labor refers to the man who works with his hands, but also to the thinker, who works with his mind, the statesman, the planner, the clerk, the salesman, the writer, the artist, the engineer, the doctor, yes, even the preacher, whose labor is not all physical, but possibly more mental than the physical. Regardless of one's honorable occupation, the law of God regarding labor applies. All who live harmoniously with the principles of the fourth commandment will work, they will rest, and they will worship. And they won't be found out in the lake, and they won't be found on the golf course, and they won't be found satisfying their own personal desires and their own whims. At the time of worship, they will be worshiping God. Some complain, "Why, Sunday is the only day I have." And they use this as an excuse for not worshiping God and attending to matters that they prefer to do. But quite the opposite is true. Sunday may well be the only day you do not have. It is the Lord's day. While we do not observe Sunday as did the Jews observe the Sabbath, and those who claim to observe the Sabbath do not do as the Jews observed the Sabbath, there are certain duties to be discharged on Sunday we dare not overlook. In one sense, all days belong to the Lord, but because of our duty to worship, Sunday is especially a day when we should plan to do what we're taught to do regarding worship. To omit worship and use the day for the satisfaction of other appetites is to miss the teaching, as well as the principles of the fourth commandment. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.